Blog Talk Radio.
Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
You're listening to eWater Radio, KEWR, DB.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show on eWater Radio, KEWRDB, where I will feature the hottest topics in regards to nutrition, sports, fitness, and current events. Now, I have an amazing show for you guys planned tonight, but it's first. As always, you know how we do. I got to give a couple of shout-outs, as always. And the first shout-out is going to go out to all the moms out there. I hope all the moms out there had a wonderful Mother's Day and were spoiled. Being a mom to me is truly the best gift and job that I've ever had in my life. Just such a blessing. You know, my daughter is my world. So shout out to all the moms and shout out to all those who are single dads out there that are moms and dads. And also shout out to all my friends out there who have lost their moms. I know that that's not an easy day for you. My heart bleeds for you, and I pray that you, get through those tough days. Next shout out goes out to all the May birthdays out there. Happy birthday, all you May babies. I cannot believe it's almost June. Speaking of, it's almost my birthday. Oh, yeah. Gemini time. I tell you what. Us Geminis, we are definitely one of a kind. I cannot wait to celebrate with my family and friends next weekend in the Bay. And then the following week with all my LA girls. So I cannot wait. And I got to tell you kind of a quick little story tonight. So I want to ask for your forgiveness in advance, listeners, friends, family out there. I had this dental procedure tonight, thinking that it was going to be something very simple, and it ended up being very complex. So I got to tell you a quick story really quick before we get in the show. A few weeks ago, you know how you go from the routine checkup and the dentist says, okay, you know, your crown is getting a little old. You need to switch it out. No problem. Okay. So, you know, they take out the old crown and then of course they put on a temporary crown. So as they're putting on the temporary crown a few weeks ago, I hear this, like, my mouth is wide open, right? I have the dentist all in my mouth, like, chipping away at my tooth, at my crown to get it out and put the new one in. And I'm trying to stay focused and stay still. And it's, you know, it's uncomfortable. Nobody likes going to the dentist. My dentist is pretty cool, but, it's not like, oh, I want to go to the dentist today. Nah. So here I am in the dentist chair. And all of a sudden, I hear this, like, banging on the door. Everybody down. Police. Everybody down. I'm like, oh, my God. I thought, like, we were being robbed or there was, like, some heist. Like, I had no clue what was going on. Only in L.A., swear to God, only in L.A. would this crazy situation happen. So, like, I'm ready to hit the deck, but yet he's, like, drilling in my mouth. And so I'm, like, trying not to get, like, drilled in the cheek. And so I'm, like, they move and everyone's kind of scattered. And I'm like trying to go under the dentist chair. Come to find out there's like high school kids in the parking lot fighting. I'm like, really? And so they were, you know, breaking up a fight and police and paramedics and craziness. So that's story one, okay? Fast forward to today. I've been putting off going back to the dentist to get my crown on just because one thing or another would come up. So like, oh, I cancel and postpone. So then I go there today. Leave work a little early, go down there, And
here I'm thinking, okay, they're just going to take the temporary off and put the new one on. No biggie. They don't really need to numb me that much. You know, no problem. And I tell the assistant, please, don't numb me too much because I have a show tonight. My podcast is tonight. And they're like, okay, no problem. You just put a little bit. I was like, okay, just a little bit. So the dentist comes in. And he accidentally drills my tongue, like, three times. And mind you, he's like, I'm like, ah! You know, you can't really scream because you're in the chair and your mouth is right. I'm like, ah! You don't want to, like, move because they go, like,
poke you in the eye or something with this thing. So I'm like, ah! And he gets me in the tongue, and he's like, did that shock you? And I'm like, yeah. So then he did it again. I almost wonder if it was an experiment. Like, I love my dentist to death, but I don't know what the heck this was. Three times in the tongue, he put anesthesia in me, like, or I don't know what you call it. I think it's the numbing stuff, right? The numbing stuff. He puts that on my tongue, and my tongue is like, I thought I was going to swallow my tongue, like, in chunk. I was so messed up. My whole tongue, my cheek, my mouth, totally, totally numb. And I was talking super funny earlier, but thank God. They told me to drink, like, a bunch of cold liquids, so I had a protein shake, I had some ice water, I chewed on ice, so I feel a lot better right now, but if you hear me talking a little bit funny tonight, now you know what's going on. Literally, oh my gosh, yeah, I got jabbed on that. I literally felt like Rocky Balboa. Adrian! You probably could have punched me. I could have got knocked out and kept going. Because I felt nothing in my entire face, my mouth, my tongue, my lips. I didn't feel like my nose was going up. It was nuts. But anyway, enough about this. On to some good stuff. I just had to let you guys know, if you hear me slur my words, it's not because I'm over here doing anything crazy. It's just like literally my mouth is still a little funny, a little tingly. So I'd like to introduce my very amazing friend, she's an author, she's a speaker, she's an entrepreneur, she's a certified life success coach who fiercely believes in the power of human potential. Before entering the personal growth arena, she had successful careers holding very high executive positions in the fashion industry. And the healthcare industry as well. So she's had many different amazing careers in her life, but what really has drawn her to her purpose, I'll let her tell her story, but just to, you know, about her sister, about losing her sister. You have to hear it coming from her, because this is truly, truly, truly a very inspiring story about what led her to do what she's doing. So without further ado, I would like to welcome my very good friend, Miss Patty Smith. Patty, you are live on air. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Tammy. I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I'm on the other side of the country.
I know, you're all the way in Michigan right now. That's great. We kind of got in, like, pretty quick. Yes,
I'm on a book tour, and I came to my hometown, and then my dad ended up having a heart procedure today, so I ended up staying another week. So it's a little bit later here, but I'm still very thrilled to be on the podcast today with you.
And that just so happened to be, like, literally while you were out there that this all happened with your father? Because I know you had been planning on doing this book tour.
In your hometown of Michigan. So this all happened because you and I have tried to connect right before the show, but.
Yeah. I came out here to do, a book signing, and I was able, I did it last Thursday, and a day before, my dad went to the heart doctor because he was kind of not feeling great. And they said that we think you're going to have to come in and do a heart procedure to do stents again. He's 93. And because my dad's kind of got a good attitude, and he's like, hey, whatever we need to do. that's what they did today. So I just wanted to make sure he got through okay, and he did. So here we are. It's life.
Well, you know, thank God, though, Patty, that that happened while, you know, you were out there. You know what I mean? Like, and not when you came back. Like, I'm sure he appreciates you being out there. Of course, we wouldn't want that to happen at all, period. But at the same time, I'm happy that you were able to be there by his side during that procedure, because it's very scary, especially as we age. Surgeries are always a scary thing, or procedures are always a scary thing, but definitely as we get older. But you know what's crazy about your dad, that everything you've told me, Patty, your dad is just so resilient. I mean, I want to talk about him too. In our, you know, we got to talk about your dad too in a little bit. His story and reinventing himself, because that is such an incredible story. I want to get into that, but before we, I'm really happy that your dad is okay, and I'll be praying for you and for your dad and your family, that, you know, he recovers well and that you get here safely. And I appreciate you still carrying on with the show tonight and it being so late out there. I know that's not something that we planned, but you are resilient yourself. You roll with the punches as they come, and I just really appreciate you. I really, really appreciate you. So I want to say that first and foremost.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. But you know what? This is just another example of life, right? Life, we never know what's around the corner for us, and it's not about how, you know, if things are going to happen, because they are going to happen. And we're not always prepared for it, but it's just kind of how do we continue to evolve? And so, you know, you kind of just roll, and you know, this is just one more day, and it's just one of those things. So I'm just happy to say that he's doing well. So anyway, and I was, you know, I'm honored to be on your podcast and with all your guests and anybody else that's out there listening. So I look forward to having this conversation with you.
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much for being on the show. I really look forward to this discussion. You know, I want to, like, first start out with a refresher about your story and about how you got started and, you know, becoming a success coach, you know, because you've had quite the career in fashion and the healthcare field. And I just want to talk about how you made that transition and what made you make that transition.
Yeah. You know, my first passion was fashion, and I followed that part of my, you know, that was really my first active life. I grew up in Michigan. I ended up becoming, getting into the fashion industry and eventually moved to LA for it. And just worked for some amazing companies, continued to just pursue that, you know, became a national sales manager, just loved that world. And, you know, eventually I, you know, after, you know, I got married and, you know, I was going to have thinking about having a family, and I just wanted to make a shift because I, you know, was traveling so much. And so I was able to kind of evolve within that industry and have my baby, and then my older sister, which is really, she's really was a catalyst in a big shift in my life, was my older sister got cancer, and eventually it became terminal. And when that happened, it literally changed, it shifted everything in my life. And I stopped working and took my sister in, and she was divorced and had two kids. And so we had them part-time every other week. And I had a seven-year-old daughter. And I will say this, that it, you know, life, you know, you're on a certain path with your life, and we evolve and grow and different things happen. But sometimes you have things that literally, it's like the rug's pulled out from under you. And when my sister became terminally ill, that's what happened. And our life changed as we knew it in one day. You know, we suddenly moved my sister in. I stopped working. I was a full-time caregiver. And, you know, it changed our whole life. My, you know, suddenly I, we had every other week, three kids doing at three different schools. I'm taking my sister to chemo. That was a bit a ways from where we lived. And it was an amazing place, the City of Hope, but it was an hour drive. And so, it's like your life is turned upside down. And I think many people can relate to that because, you know, even when you have aging parents or and if you've dealt even with, you know, somebody who's got an illness that requires a lot of care, it's like your world ends up being around that. And so that's kind of what happened for me. And my sister ended up passing away, you know, 8 months later after, you know, we moved her in. And my whole experience was healthcare, taking care of her, just advocacy, it shifted so much that when she passed away, I just knew that my life was still changed. And not just, I mean, taking care of her was a journey in and of itself. Losing her and processing that with my family was a whole nother journey. And then the shift that it caused me was a whole nother journey. And I realized it was time to make a change. And so I jumped into healthcare because that was my world and I felt really pulled there. And so I just allowed it to happen. I went from fashion to healthcare and it was my world for 4.5 years. And I learned a ton. I was really challenged with my green growing edge of being in an industry I didn't know, but I felt so called there, you know, especially after everything I did with my sister, you know, just caring for my sister. And I ended up eventually joining a company that was an entrepreneurial company. And within, they created a position for me. I loved it. And then the CEO wanted to make me president. And I didn't think it was the right fit. But after he really continued to encourage me to do it, I decided to go for it. And again, green growing edge. And I loved it. It challenged me a lot, but within another year, I ended up having to shut down a company that I didn't even start. And, you know, again, I thought I was on the path of like, this is really my what's next. And that's really what my book is about that I just published. What am I to do now? Because I feel like we are always evolving. And sometimes it's planned evolution and sometimes it's just some event happens and it changed the trajectory. And it's not about the event itself. It's more about how do we recover or how do we adapt? You know, you could have trauma, you could have, you know, something, you know, like losing somebody. You can have, you know, you get fired, you go through divorce, whatever it is. And it's really not about the event, though we think it is. It's more about how do we evolve from that? And so in my book, I talk a lot about your what's next evolution because I feel like we're always evolving. I mean, we were designed to grow until we take our last breath. And we don't grow when things are easy. We grow when we're challenged or when we put ourselves in situations that are the unknown. And so that was really how all of this evolved for me was, you know, my sister getting ill and me, you know, stopping working and then literally after she passed, getting into healthcare, and it challenged me, and I met some amazing people, and it was such a great experience. But when I had to shut this company down, I really was at this crossroads, thinking, I thought this was my next. Like, what after everything I've been through, and what I realized is it just was preparing me for that next place, which was, you know, I ended up while I was shutting this company down, a friend of mine was a coach, and she said, you know, while you're figuring things out and shutting this down, you know, I could use some help, you know, with some marketing and all that. Would you be interested kind of in a side hustle? And I thought, you know what, it sounds good because it'll take my mind off of this and I don't really know what I want to do. And the minute I got involved just in the personal development world, which I always studied, I just never thought of it as a career. It literally, you know, at first I kind of wasn't sure because I thought, oh, I don't know if I want to get into something and start a business when I'm shutting down a business I didn't even start. But I realized I had my own growing evolution ahead of me. And so it just felt right. And so I ended up you know, walking that path. And then I decided, you know what, this is exactly what feels right for me. And so I decided to get a certification to become a life coach, and I ended up getting two. And it's so funny though, once you make a decision to move forward, the minute I did, and I made a big investment to get certified, and then I, you know, had to kind of go through my studies with it. The minute I made that decision and made the investment, and this was, my sister died in 2011, 2016 is when I did this. And then my mom suddenly, her health took a turn for the worse. She had early stage dementia, and one day she woke up and moved into late stage. And so the next thing I knew, I was on an airplane flying back to Michigan, or flying to Michigan now, because I cared for my sister in L.A., where I lived, and she lived. And my mom ended up, my sister met me from Florida, and we ended up caregiving with my dad for my mom. And 3 weeks later, my mom passed away. And what was interesting was, you know, when I flew back home after, you know, caring for my mom and the funeral and all that, I felt, you know, instead of feeling like, why did all this happen? I just made this decision to make a change, and now I'm back caring for family member, and maybe I don't want to do this because this is going to take too much time and my family's so important. But because I was so driven with, like, I really felt connected to this next path, it helped me kind of, I think, process, you know, what was going on with losing my mom and, you know, my dad having a hard time with losing his wife and navigating that whole thing. So just having that lighthouse of you know, there's something that is pulling me, you know, having this vision of something, it really helped me stay on track, I guess, or get back on track. And 3 weeks after my mom passed away, I get a call early Sunday morning from my oldest brother telling me that his only child, his daughter, was killed in a tragic accident. So back on an airplane to Michigan for a funeral. But this was just, it was it was very tragic. You know, my mom's passing, though it was sad, it was beautiful. And we kind of were, you know, it just kind of evolved naturally, whereas this was just and I remember really questioning, I don't understand what's going on here. Is this trying to tell me something? And, but what was weird when we got back from that funeral, I still felt even more clear about what I needed to do because I felt so called, I guess, to do this, to help people in a way that I felt was my next, you know, my what's next. And what it taught me was when you have a vision, when you have something that's pulling you, and I'll just say it's like a calling, like what's next? This is just something that it feels right. I think when you've got that, no matter what happens around us, life happens, you deal with it. But when you have something that's bigger than you to get back focused on, it really helps you on your journey because there's always going to be stuff. And there's points in our lives where we're going to be challenged more. But when you have something, you know, like I look at it as your lighthouse. It's just something to get you back on course because you're going to have the storms that are going to take you off. You know, you're going to have the setbacks that are going to take you off. But when you have something that's really, it's like the lighthouse. It's pulling you. You have a, you know, a path to get back on, you know. It changed everything for me. And I really think when I look back, when I was writing this book and kind of looking back at a lot of things, I thought, you know, it really is, you start understanding your journey, but you're thinking, you know, you realize we are meant to continue to evolve because that is how we grow. And we're going to grow through our challenges. And it's not about having the challenges. It's about how we navigate those challenges.
Powerful, Patty. Like, my phone is blowing up and text messages from different people, you know, some of which receive bad news from doctors about illnesses, some who have lost people very close to them, are listening right now, and they're telling me that you're giving them hope, you know. Like when you go through these tragedies that you talked about, you know, how do you get over those obstacles to get you to that point of where you want to say what's next? Because it's not that simple, you know. You don't just say, okay, next, no. There's a process that you go through to get through that. Like what are some of the strategies that you used and that, you know, without giving away the book, you know, because your book is amazing. Without giving away the book, like what are some things that you can help people with right now, you know, who are going through that journey? And everybody's going through a journey. Everybody's going through a journey. But there's some folks
yes.
that are in that part of their journey that are reaching a climax point of there needs to be a what's next. There needs to be a turn, right? There needs to be a pivot, a shift. What advice would you give them to make that pivot?
You know, first of all, I think whenever you're going through something difficult, whether it's a loss or like, you know, something failed or, you know, whether like, again, you lost somebody or you, you know, maybe it's a marriage that fell apart or whatever it is. But when you're in that place, first of all, I think you do need to allow yourself time to process it. Because you're not going to just flip a switch and be fine. When something major has thrown you off, you've got to allow yourself time to process it. But the thing is I think it's kind of like, okay, if I'm going to allow myself to be upset for some period of time. But at some point, I can't allow myself to stay in that misery. I have got to move forward. And so, you know, I think it's helpful, first of all, to have some kind of a structure of support around you. And it could be family, it could be friends, or it could be, you know, somebody that you trust or, a group that you trust. And even if it's, maybe it's like if you're going through, say you got diagnosed with something, or maybe you're going through something with a family member, you know, there's lots of different groups that you can reach out to, where other people are going through similar things. And it's helpful to be around people that kind of understand what you're going through, because sometimes, you know, you can't fully understand something unless you've walked in those same shoes. So I would say finding that is helpful because you know, there's this understanding. But I'm telling you, and as I was explaining to you, there's a point where, like, I've set my book up into three parts, okay? The first part is about building a foundation. And the second part is I have a system called the Ignite You system. And then the third part is about how we navigate, you know, yes, we can have a focus and a vision, but then we're going to hit roadblocks, so how we navigate that. But the part about my system, and that's why I even put it in the book, is, like you said, where do I get started? And I think the first thing is to really, again, allow yourself to process it, you know, find some kind of support system with it. And then the other piece is, okay, so now what am I going to do? You know, like you can either stay in the misery, stay in that victimhood, because there's a point where you have to move forward. And if, you know, allow yourself, whether it's 1 week, 1 month, 2 months, but then there's a point where you have to say, at some point I have to move forward. Like I need to move forward. And because you're either growing or you're dying at the end of the day. And I look at this, you want to know, when I turned 50 years old, Tammy, my sister died when she was 50. And the morning I turned 50, you know, rather than like many of us that will put the covers over our head, oh my God, I'm 50 years old, I can't believe it. You know, you just want to be younger, right? You're like, oh, I can't believe I'm already 50. It's all about perspective. Because my thought wasn't that. My thought was, oh my gosh, this is all my sister got was 50 years. If she knew that she could have her second act, she would not be approaching it like putting the covers over her head and, oh my God, I'm getting so old. She would be approaching it from, I get to raise my kids, instead of not seeing either of my kids graduate from high school, not seeing how they develop as adults, not seeing them you know, maybe get married and have a family or what kind of careers. Nothing. She didn't get that. And I think, you know, I'll say this, my dad is 93. And my dad tells me often, you know, Patty, I only, every day, I have to take it one day at a time at this point in my life. And I said, you know what, Dad? It's interesting because we actually all have one day at a time because nobody knows what the next day is going to hold. But when you're older, you're coming from that perspective of, well, I don't have as many years. But if you think about it, we only have the day in front of us every day. Look, I lost my sister at 50. I lost my niece at 20. My dad buried his daughter and his niece and his wife, all people younger than him, right? So we don't really know. And so if you stop and think about life, life is about each day that's in front of us and what we're going to do with it. And this woman, the woman that I trained with when I got my coaching certification, I'll never forget something she said. And she said, every day is like a lifetime in miniature. It's got a beginning and it's got an end. And you get to choose what's in the middle of it. I mean, and that, and so to really approach each day that way, I think it doesn't feel overwhelming, especially if you're going through, you know, a big shift in your life. It's like, I have this day in front of me and every day's a new day. And even if I had a hard day yesterday, today's a brand new day. And to start looking at that is coming from this question of what would I love today? You know, like what is it? Like, I know what I'm sad about. I know what I'm frustrated about. I know what, you know, maybe has just been devastating to me, but like, let me just look at another side of this for a minute. You know, what would I love? What would the people that maybe if I lost somebody, they wouldn't want me sitting in this terrible place for all this long time. I mean, maybe somebody can get inspired by my journey, you know, what I've been through. There's somebody else I can help. And to take it off of yourself of this, just, you know, there's a point where you've got to take that self-pity off of yourself and say, I've got to move forward. And, you know, I think sometimes, like, when you have kids, like, I thought about my daughter when I turned 50. After I thought about my sister, I thought, what kind of a role model am I being for my daughter? She's watching how I'm navigating this. So what am I teaching her? And I even think about that about the next generation. Even if you don't have kids, it's like, what kind of a role model are we being to people? And it's like, you know, what can I learn from this? You know, and what can I take with me? And that's how we grow. And so, you know, if I think when you start looking at life, life is not meant to be easy. It doesn't mean it's bad. It's just we are always going to have distractions. We're going to have rough times. We're going to have disappointment. We're going to have tragedy. We're going to have betrayal. We're going to have those things. That's just life. So don't be surprised by it, but it's like, but it's there. It's meant for us to learn. Like, how are we going to navigate this? And I think where people get stuck is when you don't have anything positive to focus on, to move you forward, something that lights you up, it's easy to go down the rabbit hole of despair. And so when you have something, and that's why I share with you, here I was like wanting to change, you know, what I wanted to do. And then all of a sudden, all this family tragedy happening. And I started second guessing, going, this would be a perfect excuse to say, you know what, this is too big for me. I don't want to start something new. Maybe I'll just, and I started realizing I was diminishing, like, maybe I'll just go get a job doing whatever because I've already had the career. I've done things I've loved. And then I'm thinking, why am I contracting? Why am I, you know, it's like I'm finding an excuse to play a smaller game. And when I say playing a big game, it doesn't mean you have to start a business. It could be, you know, sometimes people retire and it's not like they want to do another, you know, like get involved with some other work, like have a job or start a business. But maybe it's about, how am I going to give back in the world? Maybe it's doing philanthropic work, or maybe it's taking up a hobby, you know, but it's doing something that lights you up. And the whole reason that I named my system Ignite You is because it's about igniting that light in you, because we are going to always have something that's going to take us down. But it is when you have a light inside of you that's like that lighthouse, and you could be in a storm, like on a boat, and be thrown off course. But what are you always looking for? The light. So you know where to move forward. And when you have something that lights you up, some kind of something you're passionate about, whether it's, you know, a hobby or a business or philanthropy work, but it's moving you forward, because we as a species have been designed and meant to evolve and grow until we take our last breath. So I'll bring this to my dad. Because a lot of people say, well, I'm too old, or I'm not educated enough, or I don't have enough experience here, or I'm just tired. And I'll say this. When my dad lost my mom at 87, he was 87 years old. My younger sister and I really thought my dad wasn't going to make it. We thought he's been caregiving for a year with my mom who had dementia, and he was so broken when my mom died. We thought he was going to die of a broken heart, honestly. And then 3 weeks later, his oldest son's only kid, his granddaughter, gets killed in a tragic accident. He's like, I haven't even processed your mother, and now this. And I just thought, there's just no way. There's just no way he's going to make it. And my dad is a heart patient. He had a heart attack in his 50s, right? My mom died in June. My niece died in July. And I think it was in September or October, my dad calls me and he says, Patty, I've made a decision. I can either sit here and look at four walls, feel sorry for myself, and just wait to die, or I can reinvent myself. And he said, I made a decision. I'm going to reinvent myself. I remember going, oh, my God, what's that going to look like at 87 years old? But you know what? His reinvention was, I'm not going to give up on myself. I don't know what I'm going to do. My mother was the social calendar for him. That was not him. She was the one that did all that, and he was forced to now, I shouldn't say forced, he made the decision that he was going to be okay living outside of his comfort zone. So he put himself out there. He would go to church, try to engage people in the community, which was not typically his personality. He taught himself how to cook. He shares recipes with my sister and I. He cooks for people at the church now. He's helped people that aren't in as good of shape as he is. He's like feeling significant again. And so it doesn't have to be these big, bold things always, but it started with him making a decision. I can use my wife's death and my niece's tragic death to just take me down, or I can do the best that I can every day and live for more. And he's 93 years old. He just went in for his ninth stent procedure on his heart today. And he's already talking about, Patty, I think I'm going to try to make it out to the West Coast again. And it gives him something to look forward to.
And I think that's the key right there. Looking forward to something, right? Looking forward to that what's next. And that's like literally your whole point of the what's next. It's always about, like, there's success. Sometimes I think, Patty, success we define in our heads just because we see movies or TV shows or books, and it has the beginning, middle, end, right? And success, right? Like happy ending, right? Traditionally, a lot of the TV shows, right? Your growing pains or family ties, like I'm going to date myself, like from back in the day, right? Growing pains, you know, Cosby Show, all these shows that we kind of grew up with, Full House. And they always had that happy ending. They go through a tragedy and have a happy ending. But we define success sometimes as that destination. But really, like, when through reading your book, which I have not finished yet, I'm so behind. I'm not finished it yet, but I'm like halfway through and I'm loving it right now. Because I'm just really enjoying it. I'm not forcing it, but I'm enjoying the book and journaling while I'm reading it. But what I'm realizing too, it's about the journey. And really, like, if you think about it, Patty, like some of the best musicians out there, some of the best artists that you've ever heard, their first album was always the best. Just like movies, right? A lot of times it's hard to have a part two that's a good part two. because the first one was so good. So the thing is that I guess I'm trying to say is that it's a journey. It's always a journey. It's always about what I'm hearing you say. It's about reinventing and crushing goals and then going to the next and crushing goals and going to the next. And sometimes, like you said, through your journey, an injury may happen, a setback may happen, but it's a setback for a comeback because now you just redefine that goal in a different way and crush that.
Absolutely.
It's all about that perspective. And I'm going to say, what's that?
I said absolutely. And, you know, another piece of it, too, is when you're thinking about, okay, because I think it's such a good question to ask yourself, okay, even though I've been through whatever, right? Right now in this moment, what would I love? And think about, like, what would I love? Like, even, like, you can start with your health. Like, look at all the areas of our life. What, like, am I as healthy as I want to be? And if not, like, what would I like that to look like? And and then to think about the action piece, because to me, you can think about all these things, but it's all about taking action. And I like to call it imperfect inspired action, because when you're doing new things, it's going to be imperfect. So, and you want to be applying this stuff, and it's not about failing. It's about acting, because, you know, I love that to take the acronym of ACT, action changes things, ACT. And so it's so how do I move forward? Think about your life. Your life is about acting. You could either stay, even if you have a good life right now, a lot of people will say, I'm fine. Everything's great. Well, you know what? What happens when you don't, we are meant to continue to evolve and move. What happens when you stop moving? You stagnate. And eventually you're going to, when you stagnate, you start moving backwards and forwards, right? Because we are meant to evolve. Right. And so, you know, it's not about the failing. It's about the moving. How do we move forward? And my dad will always say that to me. He goes, Patty, because it's like, oh, sometimes I don't want to get up because my hips are hurting. But he's like, Patty, you've got to keep moving. I just always tell myself in my head, it's cold in the morning. I don't want to go to the mall to go walking. But I do it because I know I have to keep moving. Now, he might not be moving as fast as he used to, but it's what keeps you going. And we are meant as a human, as a species, to evolve and grow. So, but ask a question, what would I love? Because you've got to be doing something. Why wouldn't you be always working towards something that fills your heart, fills your soul? Why are you just going to be moving without thinking? Because then you're like a ping pong ball, right? And I say this in my book too. You can either live vision, like through a lens that's vision driven, led by your vision, like what would I love? And you're kind of taking actions like, well, what can I do to help me move this forward, right? Maybe you want to paint. So maybe I need to take some classes, or maybe I need to pull out my easel again, or maybe whatever it is you want to do. Maybe I want to write a book, somebody about how I would do that, right? There's always things you could do. Because if you don't have a goal, some vision to focus on, then what you're going to do is instead of living vision-driven, you're going to live condition-driven. That means you're waiting for your circumstances and conditions to change in order to do something, which means then you won't do anything. Or you're going to just live by default, which means just things are happening and you're like a ping pong ball just being, you know, flung here, flung there. And it's not really what you want, but you just settle. And like, why would you settle when you literally have the power? We've been given the power to choose, you know, to choose what we want to do, choose where we focus. We can't always choose. You know, sometimes things happen, right? Like there can be an earthquake. You can get in an accident, but you still choose how you respond to it, how you react to it. And so instead of giving away your power as we age, you should be, you know, like own it. Like you still are in the driver's seat of your life. And I like to call it, in my book, I talk about being the leading lady or leading man of your life. You know, there's a movie that I love, I always talk about, called The Holiday. And it's where these two women exchange homes for the holidays. One's in England, one's in L.A. The one in L.A. That exchanged the home that came here from England, she meets this writer. He was an Oscar-winning writer, this older guy that's a neighbor. And they go to dinner, and she's talking about, you know, her sob story about this breakup she had. And he really liked her, and he goes, Iris, you know, I've, you know, we write these movies, you know, with a leading lady and a there's always a best friend. And he goes, you, I can tell, are a leading lady, but for some reason, you're acting like the best friend. And she's like, you know what? You're right. You should be the leading lady of your own life, leading lady or leading man. And if you think about it, our lives, it's like a movie. Look at it like a movie script. And you're the director, you're the producer, you're the actor, you're the star of your own life. Are you really living like that? Are you really living like the leader or the leading lady or man of your own life? Because it's in your hands. And you can either live by your conditions and circumstances and events that happen to you, or you can say, no, those things have happened to me. What can I learn from them? Take the learning and release the stuff that isn't serving you and move forward. And so that's really, to me, I call it your what's next evolution, because we are going to continue to evolve and grow, but we are given the free will to decide to do that. And if you don't, and even if you're fine, if you don't continue to grow, you're going to stagnate and you're going to settle. And that's when you're like, my life feels like it doesn't have meaning or purpose. And the other piece of asking what you would love is, when you kind of start thinking about things you would love, then think about your why. Why is it important to you? What's meaningful for you right now in your life? Like, what are some things that are super important? Because that's always a good place to get started, is what's important to me right now? Even, doesn't matter about 5 years ago or 20 years ago, right now where I'm at, what's important for me? And what would I love? And work from that place. And my Ignite You system kind of takes you through that. It's inspire your imagination as the I, then get clear about, first use your imagination, because we used to use it when we were younger. And we used to use it in service of what we would love, right? What are we going to do today? What are we going to pretend we're going to, be? You know, think about how kids play. What happens is we use our imagination in service of us when we're young. What happens when we get older? We instead use it to terrorize ourselves. We're only thinking about worst case scenario, Instead, use your imagination the way it was meant to be used, which was coming from possibility instead of from limitation. And think about how you did when you were a kid, because that's how kids tend to think. So it's inspire your imagination. Then the G is get clear with what you want and why it's important. Then the N is nail down your decision to go for it. Because until you put your stake in the ground and say, okay, not only do I want this and I'm clear about what it is and why it's important to me, but I'm closing the back door on maybe. I'm going to make this happen some way, somehow. And when you put that stake in the ground and you move forward, you will make it happen. You might not know how right now, but you're going to do whatever it takes. And then the next is invite and support of like-minded people and mentors, because you know what? This is when a support system is important, because it's hard to see the picture when you're in the frame of your own life. And to really find at least one or two or three people that you really trust that really will support you on your journey of your what's next. And then the T is to take inspired and perfect action every day, because nothing happens until you act. The E is to embrace gratitude throughout your journey, because that's another thing. When you're in the throes of something that's so, say, bringing you down, in that moment, think of something you're grateful for. And if it's nothing else, but I'm breathing. That is something to be grateful for. Because when you come, gratitude is on a high frequency. And when you give up your angst for gratitude, it shifts things. It really does. And you will feel the shift. Start a gratitude journal. Every day, write down one thing you're grateful for. Do that for 30 days. And every day you read the things you're grateful for. Day one, it's one thing. Day two, it's two things. Day three, now it's three things. And always add something to it. And when you do that for 30 days, it's amazing how it just opens your heart. Even if nothing's changed with your circumstance, you feel different. And then you start thinking differently. You start approaching things differently. And you start acting differently. And then the last is the you, which is uniting with, with a new self-image. And people don't realize your self-image. There's a guy, Maxwell Maltz, who wrote the book Psycho-Cybernetics, and he was a renowned plastic surgeon. And he found when he worked on people, right, their faces, he said, there are certain people I could change their faces. They were in accidents or whatever. And, you know, they felt horrible about themselves. And then I gave them their, you know, new face. And then they started acting different because they felt good about themselves. And he said, then there's other people I did, and they looked amazing. And they would look at me after it was done and say, I don't look any different. And so that fascinated him. Like, they literally don't see the transformation. Even if other people said, you look amazing, they still saw themselves the old way. And so he started studying this. And what he found was, he said, you can never outperform your own self-image. How you see yourself is how you will live. And he said, you can never outperform how you see yourself, but you can absolutely wow. change it. And so how do you change your self-image? Well, I thought, look at it like this. We update our phones, we update our computers, we update our cars, we update our wardrobes. Why wouldn't you update your self-image? And so how do you do that? Well, it's starting to look at yourself in a different light. And again, you have a vision of something new you'd like to do. And when you start taking actions in that direction, you start feeling like, oh my gosh, you know, maybe I, like when I wrote my book, I didn't think I was going to write a book. I was no author. And I talked to a book coach and I said, I just want to write an e-book. And he said, well, why do you want to write the book? And I told him, and I said, you know, I'm speaking and, you know, I want to continue to evolve that part of my career as well. And he says, you need to write a book, not an e-book, because, you know, it'll help you with, you know, some of the types of stages you get on. And I'm like, but I'm no writer. And he said, Patty, give me 20 topics you want to talk about. What would you talk about? And next time I talk to you, I want to know what those are. And so I told him the next time I talked to him, and he goes, there's your chapters. And the minute he just helped me break it down simple, I went, I think I can do this. What changed with me? I started seeing myself now, like, maybe I can be an author. That's updating your self-image. You're starting to let yourself see yourself as your next. And so, you know, that's kind of the premise of my whole book.
Wow. That's so perfectly said. I just want to personally thank you through my journey. Like, my successes that I've been having so many breakthroughs lately, like, of amazing successes just in the last month. Speaking as a panelist in Sacramento, speaking in Philly next month, speaking in Virginia at a national conference, being on the news last week, an article coming out today from the state. So all of these things, I'm going to tell you, I have so much of Patty Smith to thank, honestly, for that, because you believed in me when I didn't at times. You know, like, I hit rock bottom a few times. You've seen me through those breakdowns through my career and just personally, professionally. You've seen me in some pretty dark moments, but you always were a light around me. Always, you were a lighthouse around me. Every time you walk into a room, you light up a room. Seriously, you just, I'm not just saying this for the show, like, you're such an important person in my life and have really just been a beacon in my life of helping me to just put things in perspective. I still I still have a vision of a splice water. And you know what I'm talking about, Patty. Because every time you move forward, there's always going to be haters, right? There's always going to be obstacles.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't look at them as obstacles. You look at them as opportunities. And now I'm starting to laugh at some of the obstacles that I see before me. I literally am, it's comedy to me now. I almost feel like I'm in a sketch show when I'm looking at some of the obstacles. It's made it so much easier for me because I'm looking and shifting my perspectives on things in life and just really looking at the big picture and what lights me up, what makes me happy, and going for those things and goal crushing and then crushing another goal and another goal and another goal and then finding things that make me feel like want to, you know, looking forward to a trip, looking forward to a goal, looking forward to something is very important and critical. And I just encourage everyone out there to read your book. And with that, we're winding down on the show. I can't believe it's almost up. I want you to tell everyone how they can purchase your book, how they can follow you, how they can reach you, because there's a lot of interest. My phone is blowing up right now. People are loving you and what you're saying because it's really resonating with them, because it's just true. And it's you, Patty. It's all you. But tell everyone how they can follow you and purchase your book, please.
Well, my book is on Amazon, and it's called What Am I to Do Now? Patty Smith is with an I, Patty, P-A-T-T-I Smith. I'm also, you know, at Patty Smith Coaching is my social handle. And my website is pattysmithcoaching.com. And I also have a free gift on my website. So if you go on there, you can download that. And it's just a tool to kind of help you. If you're not feeling good about yourself, I call it my awesomeness creed. And it's just something to kind of go through to kind of help empower you. But I will just, Tammy, your life is not outside of you. Your life is inside. And it is just begging to be expressed. And so, you know, we worry about what other people think. We worry about how we're going to show ourselves. And really, it's not about that. It is literally about connecting with your light. And I just call, that's why I said, igniting that light in you. Because one thing I can tell you about watching my sister take her last breath and my mom take her last breath is that, you know what? At the end of the day, your life is precious. Your life is yours. And your life is now. And so I say in my book is called What Am I to Do Now? Because the time is now. No one knows what's ahead of the next day. But you absolutely, every day you wake up, you have an opportunity to start fresh and to move forward. And so that's what my hope is with my book, is that it will help you ignite that piece of you to help you move into your what's next evolution.
I love it. That's so powerful, so, so powerful. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be on my show tonight. And I know it's super late out there, almost 11 o'clock for you, right? Almost 11 o'clock, oh my gosh.
It is.
But I mean,
that's okay,
you just,
though.
But you've helped so many people. You've touched so many lives. I want to end with one thing. Can you tell me one thing from your book tour that was powerful, that stood out to you, like from somebody reading your book? Like what has been, can you just share one experience one journey that has helped? This stands out at the top of your head. I know I didn't prepare you for that, but I know that there's something that stood out to you through this book journey, that somebody came up and shared something to you. What's probably one of the biggest aha moments that you've heard?
You know, I have to say it's been a couple, because it's been the same thing with more people, and that's what's been kind of cool. And it literally, what I realize is that, you know, I'm speaking to, I guess, a lot of my people that are in their, that they're approaching or just approached their second act of life. You know, you're in your 40s, 50s, whatever, or people that, you know, their kids are going off to college and all that. And I think that people coming to me and saying, they point at my book and they go, I am here right now. This is exactly where I'm at. This is the question that I'm asking myself right now. And they're just like holding that book going, I can't wait to read this. And then I've had people posting, you know, my husband picked up this book and he never reads personal development and he's reading it and he's quoting me stuff from here. Or people just saying to me that this is exactly where they're at. And the thing is I think that we don't allow ourselves when we get on in life and we've raised a family, say, like we think it's like we're putting ourselves in the back seat, and it's like, no, we are meant to evolve and grow until we take our next breath. And my favorite part is just seeing the light of their eyes light up and go, I'm here. I can't wait to read this because this is where I'm at. And it's just seeing their desire to want to evolve in that way and ignite or reignite their light. That's been the coolest thing in both places I've done my book tour so far, is just been that.
Beautifully said. Patty, we're about to get cut off in 2 seconds. I want to thank you so much for being on my show again, and God
thank
bless you.
You
and your family. And I just, I will continue to pray for your father And I just thank you so much for everything that you've shared with us tonight, and for helping us to be inspired. And I can't wait to get back into your book. All right.
Well, I appreciate
until next time.
I appreciate being on your call, and I appreciate the listeners out there. And I just hope that you guys can, you know, ignite your light.
Thank you, Patty. You take care, and we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Okay. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.